Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks. We're doing this show for the first time. I'm on location, I like to put in air quotes, as the first time I'm doing this show away from my studio at my house. So hopefully the sound quality comes across all right. I'm kind of in a public place, kind of sequestered away. And so I'm really looking forward to listening back to this and seeing if this is a possibility in the future.
Well, so far so good. So here's hoping that it's clear for everyone else. It sounds pretty clear for me, but
good.
Hopefully it will be for other people when they're listening too.
I hope so as well. So it's been a crazy week. Bettina and I live up here by Toronto, and as if you listen to the show, I'm quite into baseball and I coach youth baseball and into it myself. And it's been an unbelievable week as the Blue Jays have just completed the first round of the playoffs. And it's just been, the whole city just is kind of getting suckered into this whole Blue Jay fever, and the amount of camaraderie and cheering and stress before the games and anticipation. It's just incredible as we on the afternoon of another game tonight, and it just, everybody's talking about it. And it's such a neat galvanizing thing, sometimes when sports, get it right and bring people together. It's a really nice thing to be a part of and to experience, especially after having been so far away from a championship for so long in this geographical area.
Yeah, I know. It's been fantastic. I was just saying about trying to go out to our regular pub on Wednesday night, and it was fever pitch because there was no tables, and it was, I talk about blowing the roof off. The sound inside the restaurant was amazing, and it really is a good feeling. It's one of those things that pulls people together, and we really get into this wonderful team spirit, and so it's been fun to experience it. And as I was saying before the show, I have a hard time watching the games because I get so stressed out, and that, like you said, elimination sports is just really tense. So I've been watching through my hand, through my open fingers, I guess, as if you'd be watching a horror movie or something where you say, I can't look, but you're peeking through your fingers. So that's kind of how I've been watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so wonderful to do that with people. I went to one of the games actually last week, and that's why we didn't have the show, because I was actually in Toronto during the showtime. And, I went with my brother, and we've been, through the ringer in being a Toronto sports fan and a baseball fan, and just sitting there and, taking in the energy and going through that range of emotions with each other. It was just such a wonderful experience. And, it's kind of funny because it was something that I've had an interesting relationship with sports coming through, spiritual realm and self-consciousness and, conscious living, because growing up, I used to really follow sports, and I was really a hardcore fan of everything, really. And then, as I began to read and so on, I started to realize how much I had vested in certain, allegiances. And, there's certain arguments they made about tribalism and, the reason why there's such an electric association to a team. And it's also, you can take a step back and realize how silly it all is, especially when it starts to rule your life. And then I kind of went through a period of time where, I realized that it was just a story that was playing outside of myself, and I'm the one who chose to attach myself to it, and then attach myself to the highs and the lows and the talk about it and being ripped off or succeeding or winning or failing and all these things, and realizing that while there can be great use of that, take a step back and have some perspective and realize where it serves you and where it doesn't, and you know, I say that a lot on the show, you know, the idea of things, when we question things in our lives and asking ourselves, does it serve us or does it not? And I believe that that's been something that's really helped me, not only with sports, but so many things, understand when something is good for me and when sometimes something has gotten out of control. And it can be anything from as silly as cheering for the local minor hockey league team, or it can be as serious as, you know, addiction control and doing things that actively hurt us and hurt our relationships. And it was an interesting process for a number of years where I kind of just didn't bother sports after being such a fan of them, and then having this come back around and have it kind of be understanding it from a new perspective where it's something that's really healthy and something that really promotes, you know, furthering relationships with the people, you know, who are close to you. And I know that's a big reason why men especially gravitate towards sporting events.
Yeah, I think that competitiveness is a huge thing. And I think, you know, you can put it all down to sports, and it does seem to be a more masculine trait, but I think that there's probably not anyone around who hasn't felt, I mean, I've met people who said I'm not competitive, but I think in many ways we all have a little bit of that competitiveness in us. It may not manifest itself in a very obvious way, but I think it is. I mean, in business, in being an entrepreneur and getting out and networking and meeting all the other people who are doing similar work to what I'm doing, it's, you know, you can find yourself comparing yourself to other people and trying to find your edge or your niche or whatever it is. I think it can rear its little head just about anywhere, and it's really something. You know, I'm not knocking sports. I love watching different sports. I don't do it on a regular basis, but, you know, like, for instance, when I get up the nerve, I'll watch the baseball, definitely when they get to the series. But it's just how you look at it. Like you said, you look at it from a different perspective, and that makes all the difference in the world. And I think that goes for a lot of things in life. It's not about giving up the things that you feel are holding you back. It's about seeing those things from a different perspective. It reminds me of Peter's story about riding motorcycles. And he loves riding motorcycles. We don't have one right now, and it's a sad time, but... He was riding his motorcycle one day, and when it dawned on him that his pleasure, his joy, his sense of feeling good and content didn't come from the motorcycle, he was so upset. And he rode that motorcycle home and he put it away, and he didn't ride motorcycles for a while until his perspective on it changed. And he started looking at it from that place of, I feel everything I need to feel inside. And then I enjoy everything I do in my life, including riding motorcycles. And he could go back to it again with a whole different perspective on it. And I think that's, you know, to give something up for a while just to gain perspective is, I think, a pretty cool thing. And then to be able to go back to it with, you know, looking at it from a whole different angle is, I think it's really good for us to do that, because it's what helps us to recognize that whole idea of we are complete and we are perfect, and our loving presence provides for us everything we need. And then the human experience is a totally different thing when you come to it from that perspective.
Yeah, you know, I love so much of what you said there, and piggybacking off the end of it, you know, you bring up Peter's story about the motorcycle, and I remember, you know, Peter told that story himself, and I was there a few years ago, and I, you know, it was a very powerful story, and just like you said, it's, it is really that it happens that quickly. And I never really made the connection to what my story I just shared and Peter's, but it's very much the same thing. Was like, you know, I used to be so much into this. I used to clutch for it, and it used to be so important to me. And then when you come to the realization that, you know, it doesn't define you, and you're just tagging along for the storyline of it all, and it's not your story, it is an incredible perspective shift. And then, you know, putting it away and then coming back to it in a more healthy way, in a way that, you know, it serves you. And I know that when I was younger, it didn't serve me. And you can even see this, you know, I even know, like, fights would start between guys about, you know, you make fun of their football team, or, you know, this team wins and this team loses, and there's, like, this real personal upset and competitiveness. You know, and going back to the beginning of what you said about, you know, how we all have this kind of competitiveness, and some of it shows up more obviously, and sometimes it doesn't show up so obviously, but we all kind of have this. And for me, that was a really big thing as a child. I had a really bad relationship with competition, and it was something that was extremely important for me to win, and it was so important for me to win and for the other person to lose, so much so that it would, you know, I would cross values that, you know, with a clear head I wouldn't cross, to win, to cheat, to lie, to feel, you know, and I wasn't above all these things as a kid, because it would just crush me if I lost at something. And, you know, maturing and understanding where my relationship with competition was good, and where it was really, really bad, and it was destroying relationships and destroying my relationship with myself, because I was just always so anxious and angry and upset and looking to, you know, manipulate every situation to my best advantage. And it really made me quite unlikable when I'm in that state. And, you know, understanding and being able to drop it in so many areas of life where I realized, you know, I've been able to extract the power it had over me. It's just been this incredibly freeing experience, and the amount of stress that's been relieved because of it has just been life-changing. And being able to approach situations where I'm not always trying to think of angles and not trying to think about how I wind up on top of this.
Yeah, it really takes us out of that place of struggle. When we feel that competitiveness, then there's that push, that force, and it's all about, you know, do you want to be empowered, or do you want to be forceful and push and feel that constriction that goes along with that, and that, you know, it comes from a neediness. And I know there's probably a lot of guys out there who don't want to hear that, but because what guy wants to feel like they're needy? It's such a girly thing to do. But the thing is, it does come from a neediness. It's, you know, we think that that's going to give us something, and it doesn't. It doesn't. It just reflects back to us what we're already feeling. So if we lose and we don't feel good, it's because we have a belief that losing is a bad thing, so we're making a judgment. And if we win and we feel good, it's still coming from our own belief system. So dropping the competitiveness allows us to enjoy what we're doing, whether it's sports or work or relationship, far more easily than if we were to put, you know, these judgments on it and these needs and this this whole belief system that's creating and feeding our behavior and our emotions and our thoughts. It's really interesting when you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, you know, and it's an obvious reference, as you know, as we segued the show into this, is, you know, from sports. And sports is obvious because it's kind of the point. It's right in front of our faces, but it also happens in our lives in places like, you know, the clothes that we wear, and how many conversations I was a part of, and now over here, about, you know, oh, you know, the clothes that I wear compared to the clothes somebody else wears, or the possessions I have, or how well I'm doing in life with all the sport car stuff, like how new is my car compared to their car, you know, what's my job position compared to their job position, and then what do I have compared to them? They make dumb decisions with their money, and I make smart decisions with my money. It's just this constant trying to find our place, you know, in this really sick way of, and we do it to the people that we often do it to the people that we like and love most. And it's a very, very destructive thing to be thinking, you know, when it comes to your family or, you know, your brother or, you know, the people who are close to you at work. Like, this is something that we're supposed to be working, you know, all these organizations, whether it be an organization in business or an organization as part of a family. And the whole point of it is that we come together and work together and, you know, it's people that you have a special bond with and you try to accomplish something great together, you know, as a group of people and better it for everybody. But we have this constant thing in the back of our head that's trying to always position ourselves among every social group that we're in. And it's these areas where we realize that this kind of behavior, this kind of thinking, or where the ego has gone beyond serving us, where it's hurting ourselves in life. And I love that you bring up the point. And, you know, when you ask ourselves, like, why are we doing this? And I love that you bring up the notion of neediness. You know, am I acting this way because I feel needy? Like, what? Why do I need to have the better car? Why do I need to have a nicer tailored pant or something? It's all so silly, and we feel like we need it because what would we be without it? And then you realize, and you go back, you know, to Peter's revelation that I'm all I need inside of me already, and I just choose to play these games that aren't really me, they're just on the outside. And they're easy ways that everybody relates to. Everybody's playing the game, but you don't have to. And when you realize that you don't have to, it's such a freeing realization that I'm already whole, I'm already complete, I can already give myself the things that I think that I need through all these external things that we seek and oftentimes pay great prices for.
And think of all the money that you'll save when you do that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
I mean, it's true. It's, you know, people say, oh, you know, I have to make more money because I need to do this and this and this, and my kids have to do this and this and this, and I think, you know, it's amazing how little money you can live on, and I know I've said this before, but it still even amazes me, how much money you can live on if every time you have that desire to go out and buy something new or get a new car or buy a bigger house or get new clothes or every time you want to do that, that you stop and you look at, what do I think this is going to get for me? What feeling am I going to get, or do I think I'm going to get from buying a new outfit or buying a new car or getting a better job or making more money or buying a house or having my kids in all these activities? What am I going to feel? What do I think I'm going to feel from this? And then tap into that feeling right from the get-go. And then you put that money in the bank. I mean, you know, we don't have to be in debt the way we are in this society. But it's that constant neediness for things to make us happy. And it's not working, because if it was working, we wouldn't have to keep on doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, you bring up the whole idea of debt, and the way that you know that it's real is because you just have to look at the numbers of consumer debt in our society, in Western society now. It is this constant trying to get 10% more than we earn, and like we're always reaching out in front of us to pay for a life that we think that we deserve or think that we need to portray. And it's so funny that the reason why the consumer debt numbers are so staggering and so scary, and you can even go to macroeconomic, you know, results of this, where interest rates are so low and housing boom and so many things. Like, it's just pretty much, you know, everybody falls into it. Everybody does the same behavior, you know. And when you're able to realize that all these things are just bogus, you know, or so many of the reasons why we think we do things are bogus. Not only, you know, I talk to so many people who don't actually enjoy their job. The only reason they do their job is because it's the thing that pays them the most, and they do it, and they do it 50 hours a week, and they will run themselves ragged, and they don't pay attention to their relationships, their wives, their kids, or whatever, you know, friends. They don't do enough things they want to do. It's because they're trying to pay for all these things they think they need to get, and, you know, you can work less, too, when you don't need to spend so much money to maintain lifestyle. And absolutely, if you love the job and you want to, you know, do that thing and it's important to you to make a certain amount of money, then that's perfectly well and good. But remember, it's not the, actually the thing that matters. It's does it serve us or does it not? You know, and asking yourselves a hard question, not only it's such a useful tool to use on ourselves because it'll help us, even if we do decide to continue on the course that we're on, at least we'll do it from the perspective of knowing why we're doing it. And it's a much more organic motivation to approach life. It's like much more creative energy when you approach your day rather than, you know, you're kind of always in this feeling of owing, like you're always in debt, like I need to go to work, but I need to make the money because I need to pay for something I've already bought.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, I repeat, it's not about giving away all your worldly possessions and living like a monk in a robe and bare feet. It's not about that. It's about how are you seeing the stuff. Are you seeing it as a means to feel joy? Or are you joyful to begin with and the things you have bring you joy? It's interesting. There's a book out called The Art of Tidying. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's by a Japanese woman, Marie. I can't remember her last name. It's because her method is the Kon Marie method. And one of the things she talks about is how clutter affects you energetically and how when you are tidying or purging or going through your stuff to start, you know, paring down, it's not about deciding what to get rid of. It's about deciding what to keep. And what to keep is decided on by picking the item up and really looking at it as, does this item spark joy or not? And if it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. I thought, I tried it. I actually, you know, I read up and how to do it, and I dumped all my clothes on the floor, in the middle of the floor, and I sat with those items, and I picked each one up, and I thought, does this spark joy or not? And it was amazing how much stuff I could put aside and put into the Salvation Army because I looked at it from that perspective. That car, that new car that you get, it may spark joy for a minute, but then what about the payments and the upkeep and the maintenance and the gas? Is that sparking joy? Is the whole experience of having that newer, better car sparking joy? And is it sparking joy today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? Or does it just spark joy as long as the new car smell is there and before the tire, you get a flat tire or the engine starts to go or whatever? You really have to look at the whole picture. And where is that joy? Where is that joy? If you're not fully in joy, then what are you doing? What are you chasing?
Yeah. You know, and like you said about the new car, and you know, marketers and business are smart. They understand human behavior and motivation. And they know there's a reason why they offer credit so cheap and why that revolutionized, you know, Western industry over the past, you know, number of 3-4 decades, the accessibility of credit. Because if you can buy it today and pay tomorrow, we can make that. But if we have to actually save up $40,000 in cash and then go think whether we're going to purchase a car with it, well, we would never do it. We would never actually spend $40,000 in cash that we have in our hand on these things. And it goes from something as big as a car to so many things, like housewares and so much. Like, if you actually had to have the money in your hand, you think twice about making the decision about actually purchasing something. And it's something to think about when we access credit and access debt. Because, boy, it puts us, you know, there are certain things, you know, it's useful, but also understand where we're being used, where our own natural human instincts are being used for other people's profits. And not necessarily our own joy as profit. And I love the idea of sparking joy, and not only with things, but, you know, we can do that also with our relationships in our life. You know, looking at our relationships, and do our relationships spark joy? You know, and can they be repaired, or should they best be put off to the side and given away?
Yeah, absolutely. relationships are just another one of those things that we rely on to make us feel a certain way. So, I mean, it's a very simple concept that can be applied across the board to anything in your life. If you're not happy, then, you know, start looking at how you're seeing the things in your life and what your expectations are, because it's the expectation of something giving you a feeling that's going to get you into trouble, and it's going to take that joy away from you in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did great from the Blue Jay into this discussion, and I didn't want to take it further, but we've used up our time already today. We're down to our last few minutes, and it would be fantastic if you could send us off into our day with the meditation. It would be just wonderful.
I absolutely would. But before I do, I just want to say, I still want the Blue Jays to win. That will make me feel joy. Ha ha ha. Okay. Let's do a meditation. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself to that place within you where loving presence sits, where there is peace and tranquility, there is contentment, there is bliss, there is joy, and that feeling of love is limitless. It is a constant source. As if you were standing on the shore of a lake or an ocean, and you dipped your cup into that ocean, there is always more. There is always an unlimited supply as you dip your cup into that lake or that ocean. So as you dip your cup into your loving presence, it can always be full of love and of peace, compassion and kindness, contentment, joy, happiness, beauty, gratitude, abundance. This is your abundance. And it is all you need in order to feel your abundance and understand the true meaning of abundance. To let go of competitiveness and jealousy, and to be content in this space of loving presence, and to live each day from the perspective of unlimited joy, love, peace, whatever you want to feel. Sit quietly in this space and breathe in the pure joy and the relaxation that this thought and this idea brings. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
I hope everybody had a lovely week. Yeah, it's always a pleasure doing the show, and it's great, Bettina. Thank you so much.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way, the wise man's way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.